bless you this morning. We had a wonderful service at the first service. Everyone survived that, so I am believing God that we will have the same thing happen. I'll be quite honest with you, the subject material is not the most comfortable for me. How many people got the email this week? Okay, just so you know, I did not authorize the title, all right? Said Pastor Carl is back with a bang, and then, you know, if you looked at kind of the material that we were talking about, you could make some inappropriate connections to it. Let's just say that, all right? And that was not intended. Well, it was. I didn't do it, all right? Let's just say that, all right? But, you know, we are going to be talking about something, you know, in a sense it could be called the elephant in the room, right? You know, we talk about love and sex and dating and those kinds of areas, relationships. You know, that's the elephant in the room. Here's why it's the elephant in the room. God has made us to be social beings. In other words, we're not called to be hermits living in a cave by ourselves. We're designed and made to connect to one another. And the thing is, if we're not talking about how to do it in an appropriate way, in a right way, here in church, then where are we learning it? And the reality of it is we're learning it through media, through newspaper, through our peers, maybe relatives. You know, however we've learned it, we kind of picked up about these different things, about what real love is and what sex is and what appropriate dating is. But here's the thing. Does it line up with the Scriptures? Does it line up with how the Holy Spirit wants to guide us? And I want to tell you that essentially the answer is no. You know, just look at the news, look at the headlines, look at what's being talked about online. You know, it's all about broken relationships. You know, for most of us, we know more about Kanye and Kim than we do about some healthy relationship in Hollywood, if you get what I'm saying. Why? Because bad news and juicy news makes news, you know what I'm saying? Like, I look at Sandra and I, you know, we've been married over 35 years, and if you followed us around, and please don't, all right, but if you followed us around, you know, through our lives, you know, we wouldn't make a very good series on television, you know what I'm saying? We're not throwing pots and pans at each other, we're not, you know, getting into illicit relationships with other people, you know, we aren't doing that. But here's the thing, it might be boring for you, but I'm having the best time of my life you with my wife. You understand what I'm saying? Again, it won't make news or make headlines to the world, but that's what God intended it to be. And the problem is that we're inundated with this junk, with this unhealthy relationships, with all these different things that are going on, what sex is and what appropriate or inappropriate dating is. It's all distorted and twisted because that's what the world has. But you and I have the Scriptures. You and I have the Word of God. You and I have the indwelling Holy Spirit that can point us in a different direction so that we can have healthy, wholesome relationships. And so for some of you, when you heard the title, you say, well, I'm already married, you know, or I'm not married yet, and so none of this applies. Here's the thing. We're talking about truths and principles. And so a lot of what I'm going to talk about, obviously I'm going to mention marriage a lot, but here's the deal. 96% of you will be married at some time in your life. That's the statistic. 96%. And does that mean the other four don't apply? No, they're still in relationships of some sort, maybe living together but not married. But the point is they're still going to have, you know, if they go to work somewhere, they're still connecting with people. If they're at school, they're connecting with people. In other words, what I'm talking about is about relationships in general a lot of times. And so please don't kind of tune out and say, well, you know, this doesn't apply to me. You know, this is just for young people or just for married people. These are principles for life. And here's the other thing. Though it won't all apply to you, what about your kids? What about your friends at work? What about maybe someone else that you might be able to give them a pearl of wisdom to help them in their walk? I'm going to be quite honest with you. The things that I'm going to be talking about over the next couple of weeks, I wish I knew 40 years ago. I wish somebody had told me. I wish somebody had taken the time to show me what God's Word had to say about these different things. To realize that God was the one that invented true love. That God was the one that invented healthy sex. That God was the one that invented dating and connecting in relationships. That He's the one that made us a certain way and has provided principles and truths for us to live by. The question is, do we know them? For most of us, we know a little bit about it. But for many of us, we've just picked it up kind of by osmosis because of the world we've been living in. How's that been working out for all of us? Well, if you look at the divorce rate, you look at the health of relationships, you could see it's not working out very well. And so that's why, even though this whole subject area makes me feel very uncomfortable, all right, I believe that we need to be talking about it in the church. It makes no sense that the world talks about it, and we in the church, where God made these things, we're like, no, I don't want, it's too controversial. We need to talk about these things. So I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're here physically. I'm glad that you're watching online. You know, maybe you're just wondering, you know, the title caught you in the email or something, and you're like, I wonder what this guy's going to talk about. Listen, I can tell you right now, this is all PG stuff, you know what I'm saying? But here's the thing. I'm going to be asking some hard questions. I'm going to be making some difficult statements, and it's going to cause you to have to consider some things in your life. I know that even as I've been preparing, it's affected me. So how many people want to have healthy, wholesome relationships in every way? All right, thank you. For the rest of you, what are you doing here then? You know what I'm saying? But I believe that we all want to have that. And even if you are having healthy, wholesome relationships, I believe that there's always room for improvement for all of us. And I say that of myself as well. And so as we get into this, let me ask you a question, make this statement. Who's this series for? It's for those that want healthy, wholesome relationships and your desires to grow in that. Who's going to be uncomfortable with this series? All right, let me tell you who you are. And just keep looking at me. So, you know, I'm just smiling and nobody know that it's you that I'm talking about, all right? Same with those online. If you're sitting with people, just keep looking at the computer screen or the TV set. No one will know I'm talking about you. But the person or persons that are going to have difficulty with what I'm going to be talking about are what I call the recreational daters, the sports daters, or I'll even go as far as to say this, the serial daters. They're the ones that just want to have a good time. They want to put another notch in their belt of a conquest, of an experience, of a relationship, and then they move on. How do you define a person like that? Well, usually when the other party comes to you, if you're the one that's the serial dater, and says, look, you know, I just want to get a sense of where this relationship is going. And really that person's wanting a definition. And your answer is, it's over. Because you're not ready. You don't want a commitment. That's not what this is about. You just want to have experiences. You want to have conquests. You want to just feel good at the moment and then move on to the next person and the next person and so on. And maybe at the time it may feel good. You know, from a physical point of view, from a hormonal point of view, you know, all of those things. It may feel good at the time, but let me tell you something. In the end, that lifestyle will lead to destruction. Let me just make a statement here right now. Here's the thing. Your present will eventually become your past and will show up in your future. So if that's the kind of life you're living right now, that you're just basically living by how you feel and just doing the things that make you feel good physically and those kinds of things, eventually that will show up. Even though you may leave it and move forward, it will come back around as baggage as you move forward into the future. That's just how it is. And you're going to have to face it and deal with it. And so I don't say that to condemn anyone, but rather to say, look, if you haven't dealt with it, if you've got past that point in your life and realized, man, that was stupid, I shouldn't have done all those things, you know, God, forgive me, then you need to talk to the Lord about it and begin to let it go. And what he'll do, he'll bring up different situations and circumstances from your past. You have to say, Lord, I give this to you. What do you want me to do? And in some cases, it might mean writing apologies to someone. You know, it may mean having to connect with somebody and say, look, I'm so sorry for what happened, whatever, you know, years ago. Because part of the healing for you and for them may be to do that. You know, do not do what so many people do because of the shame and guilt in their life. They kind of put it in a closet and lock the door, or put it in a box and put a bunch of locks on, thinking, it won't bother me now. It's still sitting there. It's still in you. You get what I'm saying? It's still a part of your psyche. In fact, the fact that when I talked about this, you feel the guilt and the shame. You know what that's telling me? You got to deal with it. You got to pull that thing out. Open the box up and say, Lord, here it is. Show me what to do. And let me tell you something. God will help you. But for the young people here and for those that maybe haven't gotten involved in going down the wrong road yet, listen to me. It's not a good road to go down, all right? I can assure you. You know, I'm the older self. You know, the big thing on YouTube now is the video of the older self talking to the younger self. How many people have seen one of those? You know, with COVID or something, and the older person shows up, you know, and says, buy TP. Get as much as you can, you know, again, because they've got past COVID and they know about that. You know, wouldn't it be great if we had a person, an older self, come to us now and tell us, you know, a year or 2 years ago now, listen, get stocks in Pfizer, Moderna, please, you know, and what's the AstraZeneca? Johnson & Johnson, not so much. Don't do that one. The point is, wouldn't it be great, you know, if we had that older person? Here's the thing. We have the older person. God Himself has provided us with wisdom from eternity to give to us, to show us what to do for our future. It's amazing, and it's all here. So often, we think that if we just find the right person, it will fix everything. Now, I did a survey at the first service. We'll see if you guys are any more honest today, all right, at the second service. How many of you in your younger days thought that if they just found the Mr. Right or the Mrs. Right, that everything was going to be awesome? Oh, thank you. This is a much more honest crowd. The morning crowd, maybe they were just sleepy. I don't know what the deal was, but like one person put their hand up, and I know there was a lot more that needed to do that. So thank you for your honesty, and I pray those online did the same thing. You were honest about that. Because the reality of it is, many of us think that, you know, regardless of what happened in our past, we think that, you know, getting married, getting into an intimate relationship is like a reset. If we find just the right person, you know, the Mr. Right or the Mrs. Right. Now, is there anything wrong with wanting to find the right person? No, there isn't. But I'm here to tell you that's not going to fix things, all right? You know, here's the reality of it. When you find that person, what you often find out, maybe after the honeymoon, maybe even a few months later, maybe even a couple years later, that you find out they're not quite as the perfect person that you thought they were. You know what I'm saying? Now, again, I'm not going to take a survey of that, but you know what I'm talking about if you've been up that road, all right? And here's the reality of it. You got to begin to work that through. I've had so many people come to me for counseling over 25, 30 years, and they sit down in my office, and here's what they say. They say, I have a marriage problem. And nowadays, I'll tell you what the answer is that I give to them. You do not have a marriage problem. And they're like, yeah, we do. You know, we do this, blah, blah, blah. And they go on to their story. I'm like, stop, stop, stop. I said, you do not have a marriage problem. You have a single problem. And what I mean by that is you both were broken. And now you've come into this relationship where you both thought, I've got the perfect one. I've got the perfect one. And now we're going to have a perfect marriage. No, you have two broken people coming into a marriage thinking it's going to be perfect, and it's more broken than it was before. Because when you put two broken people together, there's even more friction than if you're by yourself, if you see what I'm saying. And in fact, because you're so disappointed that the Mr. Right or Mrs. Right didn't fix things, then you're even more upset about it because it's like, I thought this was going to fix it, and it didn't. And so you're left more disappointed and disheartened and disoriented, all those things. And you're just in this place of sadness. And I can say the same thing concerning relationships. You know, I mentioned that for marriages. You know, most of us don't have a relationship problem. Let me word it like that. We have an internal problem. So this applies to your workmates. This applies to your relationship with your boss, your friends at school. You see, all the time when you and I are pointing a finger, they're the problem. How many fingers are pointing back? See, it comes down to you. It comes down to what can I do to fix me? I may not be able to fix them, but I can fix me. I had a circumstance happen to me again in my office years and years ago. This young man, about 30 years old, came into my office, and I didn't know why he came. So I'm totally, you know, had no idea. So he sits down and says, you know, how can I help you, you know? And he says, well, look, I want to get married. And I said, okay, you know, he who finds a good wife finds a good thing. That's scriptural, nothing wrong with that. And so then he produces out of his pocket this piece of paper. He uncrumples it, And so I said, well, you know, what's this? He says, well, this is what I'm looking for. You know, if he who finds a good wife finds a good thing, here's my list. So he starts down this list, all right? Now, this was kind of his list, all right? It was like the type of hair the girl was going to have. The body shape that this girl had. Even dimensions. I won't even get into the kind of dimensions, okay? I'm just telling you what he said, okay? Again, we're staying PG on all this, all right? Just describing all the externals of this girl. So he kind of finishes, and I could see he's done his list. I said, is that it? Like, again, I'm trying to stay reserved and calm and just, I'm there to help him. And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, how about some inside stuff, like, personality, you know? And so he literally for a minute went, oh, yeah, I guess so. You know. So then he started a new list. He got his pencil out and started writing. He said, well, look, you know, I want somebody that's a hard worker. You know, I want somebody that's definitely just focused on me, you know, be faithful to me, you know. And so he came up with a bunch of things like that. So as he's going through this, like, this took a while, you know, about a half an hour time going back and forth. I'm like, I'm not feeling good about this on the inside. And the Lord spoke to me. And this is what God said to me, all right? It's literally like, you got a picture that I deal with life like Jesus is sitting beside me. But he's kind of like the invisible person in every conversation. So it's kind of like when my wife and I, we were talking to each other a little bit during this, you know, during what was, we whisper back and forth. Well, that's kind of how I see Jesus in anything. He's right here. And so I literally felt him, in a sense, lean over to me and say, son, why would I ever send the perfect girl and torture her to that guy? And literally, I started laughing on the inside. Like, I'm like, I got it. And so I said, look, this is what I believe God's saying. And I made the statement. I said, look, why would God send that perfect girl, the Mrs. Wright, to you? The guy was still living in a basement, had like this part-time job, had no life, was basically out sports dating, doing his thing. Again, not showing any kind of faithfulness or diligence. And why would God, if God loves the other person as much as he loves you, why would he torture that other person? You know, send that person to hell in a sense. You know, relationship hell. You know, why would he do that? And so I immediately said to him, look, that list needs to become your list. Now, obviously, don't get a sex change. I didn't mean that. But make everything that you want to find in that soulmate for you. And then, because here's the reality of it. That person, that Mr. Wright or Mrs. Wright that's out there, they're making their list up. And I said to this young man, I said, would you even be on that girl's radar if she made up that list? And he looked down and he said, no. I said, well, that's kind of where we're at here. You know, are you going to make some changes? And obviously, you know, prayed with him. And a little while later, he moved to a different, not a different church, but literally moved out of the state. And the point is, I pray he worked it out, because Mrs. Wright for him, I feel for that girl, you know, unless something happened there. So here's my question to you in your relationships. Are you the Mr. Wright or Mrs. Wright? In other words, are you a godly person? Let me just say it this way. Are you the right person that you were looking for? And this is in every kind of relationship. You know, are you making connections with people at work just so that you can climb the corporate ladder? Or are you just connecting with people because you just want to be nice and kind to them? You see where I'm going with this? This isn't just about marriage and intimacy and those kinds of things. This covers everything. It covers why we do the things that we do. So are we in a place where we're open-hearted in loving others appropriately, or is it about what we can get emotionally or what we can feel, that we're trying to fill a void somewhere inside of us? You know, we have what's called the, I love the term here, and it's called this, the happily ever after syndrome. How many children's books have we read when we were growing up? You know, you got the prince and the princess, and you know, they fight the dragon, and they fight the other bad people, and finally they come together, and the last few words of the book is, and they what? Lived happily ever after. Basically, what they're saying is, if you find, quote, the right person, if you find the right relationship, that you will live happily ever after. I'm here to tell you that there's more to the story than that. That basically, if you were trying to find completeness inside of you through someone else, you'll never find it. In fact, as you go from relationship to relationship to relationship, you'll actually feel more empty each time that happens. That's just how it works. Because there's that void that only God can fill. And I'm going to make this statement right now, that if you don't know Jesus personally, if you're just pursuing relationships thinking you're going to become whole, it can and will never happen. Only by accepting Jesus can begin the process of wholeness happening in your life. In other words, it's just like the cross. If you look at the cross, there's vertical and horizontal. And the vertical represents our relationship with God. And that needs to be the first and prime thing in our lives. And as we allow Jesus to become more real in our lives and the work of the Holy Spirit to be at work in us, then what happens is the horizontal relationships, they can get right. It can't work the other way. And in fact, they can't even work kind of together. The idea is you've got to get right with God, and then He'll help you get right with people. And so how do we do this? You know, I've been a Bible reader for years, and I have yet to find really a lot of direction in Scripture on how to find the right person. And if you found it, you know, come and let me know, all right? But let me tell you what is in the Bible is how for you to be the right person. That's everywhere. And that's what I want to take a few moments today to talk about, all right? We're going to one portion of Scripture. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You would know that as what? The love chapter, right? You know, we see that being, spoken of in weddings and those kinds of places. But it really wasn't intended in the first place for that. When Paul wrote it, he was actually talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And he was talking about how important they are. But he was also talking about the fact that the gifts of the Spirit, if they're used with an attitude of God's kind of love, they'll be fruitful. But if not, you'll get no fruit from it. And so then he goes on and does this expose, in a sense, on what real love is. And as we look at this, I want you to think about this in two different aspects. It's talking about God's love towards us, but it's also talking about us taking God's love and using it towards others. So again, it's that whole vertical horizontal type relationship. And that's how I want you to see this as we look at this. So let me just read 1 Corinthians 13, beginning at verse 4. It says this, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. How many people have heard that scripture read numerous times, right? But here's the problem with it. We read it, and we're like, yeah. Okay, yep, got it. There's 15 definitions of what love is that I just read. So if I made you turn the page over, so to speak, close your Bibles and say, yeah, give me five of those or six of those. You'd be like, And then what if I asked you to define what they were? You'd be like, You get what I mean? You might get some of them. So we just read it and and it just goes by. It's like a blur. And I want to take a few minutes as we're coming near the end here today to define those 15 aspects of love that God has towards us, and that we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, are to demonstrate to the world around us. Now, why am I focusing on this? Here's the thing. If we don't have a foundation of God's love in our lives, then sex, our perspective and understanding of it, will be skewed. It won't be appropriate or correct. Our understanding of dating, our understanding of interpersonal relationships will not be correct. And so you and I need to have a foundation of the God kind of love in our life in order to move on to the deeper things. Let's just word it that way. All right, so let's look at this. Love suffers long. So what does that mean? Here it is. Love is patient, as does not pressure the other person. I think of in my early days with Sandra in dating. Can I tell you, I was not operating in that kind of love. She was under pressure constantly from me. And that is not appropriate, and that's not the way any relationship should be. If you're in a relationship like that where someone is pressuring you to do something you're not comfortable with, that is not God. Back away. Run from it. That is not whole and complete. That's not what God wants. Amen? So again, just, and again, our feelings and emotions get caught up in this. And it's like, oh, but I really like him. I really like her. And I really want to please him. Listen, if it doesn't line up with the Holy Scriptures, it will, in the end, bring shame and guilt and remorse to you. Don't do it. Amen? All right. Love is kind. God's kind of love is considerate to the point of actively helping the other person. You know, I think of Jesus hanging on the cross. How much more kind could he be, right? You know, he literally actively did something for us. And that's literally what we're to do with the kind here, is to be active in doing what God's called us to do. Not just saying, oh, I feel sorry, but literally helping that person who's in difficulty. Love does not envy. So what that means is you don't covet or desire something you don't have from someone else. You know, so many people are wanting what someone else has, thinking that will bring fulfillment to their own life. Can I assure you, it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. Okay, love does not behave rudely. So here's what this means. Love does not dishonor, disgrace, or is indecent to others. Now, I'm going to make a statement here, and for some here, this might make you uncomfortable. What that is saying is that we don't want to become part of someone else's shame story. You know what? Let me say that again. What it means is we are not to become part of someone else's shame story. That's not what God wants for us. That's not the God kind of love. In other words, when we do something that's inappropriate, indecent, or dishonoring to somebody, in the end, as you move on, they're left with shame and guilt and remorse. And that's a horrible thing for anyone to have in their life. And usually you end up with it as well, especially if you're walking with Jesus. But again, you have the opportunity to let it go. Maybe they don't know Jesus. And so it just becomes part of their troubled story in life. God has not called you and I to be a part of anyone's shame story. How about this? We're all called to be a part of God's glory story. The idea of bringing his presence into circumstances in a godly way. That's what we're called to do. Not to bring shame and guilt and condemnation. That's what the world does. That's what we did before Christ. But with Christ, we have the opportunity to do something different, to bring life instead of death, to bring hope instead of hopelessness. That's what God's called you and I to do. And connected with that, you know, love does not seek its own. And really, that's similar in a lot of ways, right? God's kind of love puts others first before oneself. And that's even your own desires, your own hormones, you know, all of that. You know, to lay that aside and to do what's best for the other person. Not what you think is best, but what you know God says is best in a way to honor him. Amen. Okay, love is not provoked. God's love is not easily upset or made angry. Love thinks no evil. Real love does not scheme to harm or hurt someone in any way. You know, love, in a sense, believes the best in people. And that's how you and I need to be. That's God's heart. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. So love doesn't delight in sin and is happy when the truth comes out. Love bears all things. God's kind of love endures patiently. This word is very interesting. When it says love bears all things, that word bear actually means covers over. Now, you may then take it to the extreme and say, well, then that means if my partner or my person in relationship around me has done this horrible thing, that I just need to cover it over and pretend it didn't happen. That's not what this scripture is saying. But what it is saying is that when someone has wronged you, to not necessarily broadcast it to the world. You know, I can't tell you how many people in a marriage relationship, what somebody does something wrong, and right away one of them's on the phone calling all their relatives, calling all their friends, saying, you wouldn't believe what did. Now, here's the problem. A week later, they've resolved the issue. But what about all the relatives and the friends? You see where this has gone, right? It's a mess. It's a fiasco is really what it is. They're still angry at the guy, you know, and he's like, I confess my sins, I'm sorry, you know, and he's repented, moved on, but meanwhile, the rest of the world wants to stone the guy. Like, come on, what you need to cover over. It doesn't mean that you're hiding or concealing the truth, but what it means is you don't need to, in your anger and frustration, broadcast it to the whole world. It just brings a whole heap of hurt back in the end. Love believes all things. God's love has faith and respect towards the other person. Love hopes all things. God's love expects and believes the best. How about this? Love endures all things. When difficult situations come, the God kind of love does not give up. And finally, the 15th one. This is the most important of all. Love never fails. God's love never gave up on us, and we shouldn't give up on someone else. This kind of love is eternal. I made note of it. The kind of loves that I've described, and by the way, you know, if you're trying to make notes with it, we're going to send this out on Tuesday with the email, all right? So if you're part of our email database, you get our emails regularly, we'll send this, that list out, so you can have that and be able to look at that again in your own time. This kind of love that I've been talking about is not natural and is not normal to this world. It's only available through the Holy Spirit. It is it's a fruit of the Spirit. And so for us as believers, we have the opportunity to tap into that kind of love. It's available because of our vertical relationship with Jesus. And so we need to call upon God to help us to operate in this love. Because normally, we're the opposite of everything on that list. You know, the kind of love is talking about self-sacrificing and considering the other before yourself. That is not normal for a person. Normally, we're pretty egocentric. It's about us. And even as believers, we can tend to fall into that. Again, we're influenced by the world that we were brought up in. But I have just given you the definitions of how God's kind of love is to be in our lives and how that same love is to go out into all the relationships that we have. See, if we want to find the right person, we've got to be the right person. And I believe that God wants to help each and every one of us at whatever level we're at. You know, even as I've studied this, I've been changed by this. All of a sudden I realize, man, every conversation I have, am I acting in the God kind of love? Or am I acting in selfish motivations? Is my attitude right? You know, it's caused me to remind me that it's about God's love that I'm to be demonstrating. Let's stand together. And just as we're doing that, I'm doing it just to help shake the cobwebs out of you. I'm going to show you one last little scripture verse. This is the how-to part. This in a sense, brings it all to a conclusion. In Psalms 37:4, there's a scripture. It's one of my most favorite scriptures. And it says, simple scripture, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, that word desire, when it says desires of your heart, that's everything, okay? That's talking about relationships in every area, you know, whether, you know, sexual, you know, every kind of desire, you know, whatever you need to be satisfied. But if you look at the scripture, it's qualified by this, delight yourself in the Lord, and then he'll give you these things. Well, what does that word delight mean? You know, in fact, I don't really like it, and as you look up different versions even, they don't really hit it right on. But when you study it out in the original Hebrew, here's what it means, to be soft and pliable in the presence of God. So let's look at that again. So be soft and pliable in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. In other words, instead of doing what you want to do, what you feel like doing, or what those kinds, you bring all of your relationships, you bring all the different aspects of this, and you open your heart to Jesus. And you say, Lord, I know I've got hard areas in this. You know, I've got hurt in relationships, and I know I'm not soft and pliable in that area, and I need you to soften me. I need you to bring me to a place of just total submission to you. And he'll do that. And that pliableness means that you're flexible to the direction of the Holy Spirit. But here's what happens. You and I get into this tunnel vision thing, you know, where we just do what we've been doing and been doing before that, rather than saying, Lord, you've got a better way. And really, that's what I'm here to talk to you about. To say that God has a better way in the area of love, the area of sex, and the area of dating relationships. And that's really what we're going to be talking about, is the better way. And so, Lord, I thank you for every person here. I didn't come here to embarrass anyone or make anyone feel guilty or have any shame, because, God, you are a forgiving God. And no matter what we've done in our past, we can bring it to you. You already know about it, but we can bring it to you and ask for forgiveness and be forgiven and cleansed. I think of the different prophetic words that were given, and it spoke of that very thing, that your love is there for all of us. And we just have to ask and be forgiven and then move forward. But Lord, we don't want to keep making the same mistakes. We want to see different results, Lord God. And so, Father, I pray for every single individual here. They may be searching for new relationships, healthy relationships, maybe a marriage relationship, a Mr. Right or a Mrs. Right. And so, Lord, if that's the case for them, I pray that they become the Mr. Right and Mrs. Right that you've called them to be. And not perfect, but working towards it. Lord, that's all you're asking of us, is to follow you as best as we can. I pray for those that are dealing with other types of relationships, just work relationships, school relationships, all those kinds of things. And I pray, Lord God, that they can grow more healthy, Lord God, as we've learned about what love is about, what true love is about in the area of relationships. So, Father, I speak a blessing over your people, both the ones that are standing here, those that are watching online. I pray right now in Jesus' name that we see you as a good, loving Father, not wishing to hold any good thing back from us, but every good thing in its appropriate time and appropriate place. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. One last thing in the form of announcements, this is for online as well as here. If you got questions, you know, related to the subject material that we've been talking about, feel free to write it on one of the tithes and offerings envelope. You can do it anonymously if you want, or you can sign your name, and we may talk about it here in church, not with your name, of course. But if, you know, no one else talks about it, but you have a question you want answered, if you put your name, we can contact you personally. And so again, you can do that online, reachoutchurch.com. You can email us. We'd love to hear your questions or your comments, anything we can do to help you. God bless you this morning.